Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Is everybody in? The ceremony is about to begin.
And here we go.
Dr. Evil, we have a problem.
This is going to be cool.
I mean, after all, you're nerds.
They look like a couple of dorks.
Perfect. We couldn't have planned this better.
As of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
What's happening, hot stuff?
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
What? English, do you speak it?
Yes.
Then you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
And welcome, everybody, to the Sports Report. I'm Packer Dave. Glad to be with you. Got a lot on slate today for the show. We'll bring in Steve Leventhal from SRN Broadcasting in Chicago. He and I will discuss with Dion Miller from ABC TV 7 Sports in Chicago the 2016 Cubs run to the World Series. It'll be a good look back at that, eventually winding up them appearing at the White House the last few days of the Barack Obama administration. We'll talk a little NFL and some pro and college basketball with Jeff Rich from the Sports Byline Network, and some hot stove stuff later in the program, talking spring training baseball right around the corner with John Poulter from Toronto, our professor of sports. But let's look back at the Packers getting clocked by the Atlanta Falcons. Defense could not stop the Falcons. Even if Green Bay would have taken advantage of the opportunities they had earlier, I don't know that there's anything they could have done. Green Bay kind of overachieved this year, in my opinion. The big win in Dallas was certainly a highlight of the season and one of the memorable playoff games between the Cowboys and the Packers. And Green Bay falls in Atlanta. Atlanta and New England will be playing in the Super Bowl. And Packers have a lot of free agents in the offseason. Micah Hyde, Daytone Jones, Nick Perry, TJ Lang, all free agents this year. And Packers have to look to re-sign most of those guys, hopefully. A lot of number one draft picks in that list. Nick Perry, Daytone Jones. So there's some work to be done in the offseason there. But Aaron Rodgers commented after the Falcon loss that they may need to get some other pieces in the puzzle. Here's Aaron Rodgers.
Felt great about our football team the entire season. We just went through some adversity and lost some games we should have won, which would have changed probably some of the playoff seedings. That's what you have to do. You have to win those games in the regular season to give yourself an opportunity to host this game because it's just so difficult to win on the road in this environment against a hot team. So that needs to be the focus moving forward next year. And like I said, reload and get ready for the offseason. Be here before we know it.
And Mike McCarthy, after it was all said and done, said, you know, we didn't make the Super Bowl, but we didn't do so bad. Here's Mike McCarthy.
You have to be able to measure success because one of the best things we do, and it's a constant struggle and focus for everybody, is we spend a lot of time on handling success. And handling success, it doesn't just start when you win the Super Bowl. You know, handling success starts each and every day that you know someone in our program has success. So whether it's making the team, it's you know being a starter one week, or you know making a bunch of big plays, kicking and winning field goal. And so with that comes responsibility and focus because success is achieved on a bunch of different levels. So we reached a very high level of success this year. So I would say our team clearly had a successful season without a doubt. I don't even know why we're even questioning that. I don't look at this business as far as a black or white, but I mean everybody wants the ultimate goal with what Atlanta and New England's playing for. So, you know, and with that, fully recognize that when you don't reach that goal, there comes criticism and opinions, which, you know, we fully, you know, accept and understand. It's part of our industries. But we had a successful season, but we did not reach the ultimate goal of winning the Super Bowl.
So we've got a lot coming up here on the Sports Report. Dion Miller from ABC TV 7 in Chicago coming up after this.
You know, sometimes when you compare prices on products, you think to yourself, what difference does it make? The rates are all about the same anyway. But sometimes the rates are very different. Let me give you an example where there's a huge difference in pricing between companies. Vehicle protection plans. Look, if your car is 4 years or older, having a vehicle protection plan is a no-brainer. The trick is not to overpay for it. Here are the facts. The average price of a vehicle protection plan is $2,800, while the price of a TOCO warranty vehicle protection plan for most vehicles is just $1,500. The average down payment on a vehicle protection plan is $299. With TOCO warranty, there's no down payment. The average monthly payment on a vehicle protection plan is more than $160 a month. With TOCO, the average monthly payment is just $49. To get a highly rated vehicle protection plan at a great low rate, call TOCO Warranty at 1-800-987-3157. That's 1-800-987-3157. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, Packer Dave, this is Bob Uecker, Mr. Baseball. And, you know, when we think of cheeseheads in Wisconsin, your name immediately comes to mind, not only Cheesehead, but Curdle Cheese. When they talk about Curdle Cheese, letting it go sour, it's you, Dave. And we thank you for that, Packer Dave.
I love Bob Uecker. Radio voice of the Milwaukee Brewers since the 1970s, early 1970s. Now, I don't remember listening to Brewers baseball without Bob Uecker being the play-by-play guy. I'm Packer Dave, along with Steve Leventhal in Chicago.
Just a bit outside.
Yeah, just a bit outside, exactly. And Major League, I'll tell you, what a great movie. Bob Uecker was in it, of course, as Harry Doyle, and Charlie Sheen as the Wild Thing. And, of course, many of you know I was a photo double for Charlie Sheen.
To bring that up.
Well, why not? It's a big deal. Okay,
big
right
deal.
Now, we bring in Dion Miller from ABC TV 7 Sports in Chicago. She's come on the show several times, and we're going to talk baseball in this segment, specifically the 2016 Chicago Cubs, ending a 108-year drought and winning the World Series. Dion, welcome to the program today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I never want to miss an opportunity to talk baseball, so I'm thrilled to be joining you guys.
All right. Say hello, Steve.
The pleasure is entirely yours.
Okay, now, Dion, you covered the 2016 Cubs from spring training in Arizona all the way through the visit to the White House at the end of the Barack Obama administration. So let's talk about what it was like in spring training 2016 going into the season. What were the expectations and what was the feeling going into that year?
You know, I remember during spring training feeling like, who wouldn't want to play for the Cubs right now? I mean, when Dexter Fowler came back, it just kind of set that tone of a magical storybook kind of season ahead for them. And just the attitude that they had was that they knew that how good they were going to be. And not in a cocky way or overconfident way, just in a way that they knew how to handle what was coming ahead. I mean, you look back to 2015 and everybody seems to think that was some sort of a surprise that they were able to go as far as they did. And, you know, getting swept by the Mets and what that did for them in just teaching a lot of those young guys how to handle that, how to handle the length of a season with the way they want to be playing when it comes to mid, late October, learning all of those things, coming back with that knowledge in spring training. It gave them a sense of confidence, a sense of calm, that they understand the marathon that is ahead of them, and it's not something that they need to be sprinting towards or are anxious about. It just one day at a time. And those young guys especially really understood that to a point where they were prepared for what was coming ahead. And they liked being the team to beat. They liked having that target on their back. And that's what stood out to me from spring training. I mean, remember saying it in live shots, no one's having more fun than the Cubs right now. And it's true. It was just one of those things that you wanted to be around them. You wanted to cover them. You wanted to see what they were going to do next. It was just interesting to see them start that way and then have it all culminate with the way it did with the parade. And then, you know, 6-7 weeks later at the White House, and it just seemed so storybook. It was just, it came together just the right way with a great, great group of guys who had the personalities to do it.
All right, Chicago won 103 games during the regular season and outscored their opponents by 252 runs. And they beat the Giants in the division series, then the Dodgers in the championship series. But let's talk about the regular season now. What stood out during the regular season? You were covering them at home, on the road. As we built up to this playoff run and eventual World Series championship, what was the feeling during the season?
You know, what you just said about how many runs, their run differential, that was without Kyle Schwarber. I mean, I think that stands out to me big time, just realizing that he didn't even play the regular season and came in the World Series, and what he will be able to do now coming in with a full season and feeling healthy. I mean, you got to believe that's just going to increase their ability to score runs. I think that the regular season as it unfolded, and you saw them take the first place in the division in April and kind of just build on that. And it really was one game at a time. They never let the day before affect what was going to happen the next day. I mean, it was unheard of how that happened and how they would bring in different guys. And, you know, from the outside, you'd wonder, would they mesh with them? And they welcomed it. It just kind of, you could see that it building. And again, that ability that Joe Maddon sets that tone of, okay, it's over. What can we learn? Let's move on. And just that was kind of what they did each and every day. I mean, dealing with the Schwarber injury so early, I think that was a small panic button for everybody. But it didn't affect them. Winning games, losing games, it didn't seem to shake who they were, or what they were going to do, or what they were able to do. And you just never counted them out. I mean, how many times they'd come back at the end, and it was entertaining baseball. And as such a big fan, you never wanted to walk away. I mean, one night it'd be Dexter, one night it'd be Chris Coughlin, it'd be somebody random. I mean, Tommy La Stella out of nowhere. I mean, just different guys would step up, and what Chris Bryant was able to do so consistently, and even Rizzo in and out of slumps and able to handle it and still be a leader and be the guy that people are looking at to lead. And then David Ross, I mean, it was like a storybook what he was able to do. Another a no-hitter from Jake Arrieta. And I mean, just it just came together. I don't know if I'm describing it correctly, but watching them go from series to series and just and kind of each moment and have all these magical moments, it was just pretty cool. I think we forget, because we all focus on October and what happened in the playoffs and them obviously ending the World Series drought. But during Cubs convention, they ran all these highlights through of everything that happened from the season. And it's unbelievable. It was just their year. I mean, the way things unfolded, it's always fun to look back at that now and see that they put together one of the best seasons in baseball history.
And Dion, you alluded to it a moment ago, but what about the one person didn't have a single hit, didn't pitch a single inning, but had a profound effect on the team, and that was the leadership of Joe Maddon, the manager.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, he, you know, people want to second guess him and still, you know, question some things, and that's fine. He's fine with it. You can do that, but it starts with him. He sets that tone of how they're going to, you know, operate in their clubhouse and how they bring in guys and how they're going to mesh and knowing personalities. And that's just who he is. He's, you know, we say all the time at ABC7, Joe Cool, Joe Cool. I mean, I think everybody says that. The president called him the coolest guy in the room. I mean, he really is. He's just, you want to be around him. You want to talk to him. You want to hear what he has to say, because you feel like he's just a step ahead, especially when it comes to putting together a lineup and trying things, but also not afraid to admit, okay, that didn't work. I think that that's why guys like to play for him and why guys like to be in his clubhouse. Now, I'm curious to see if year three, the themed road trips and that sort of thing still resonates with guys. As these guys are getting older and kind of getting into their routine, maybe that isn't going to be part of the way things unfold anymore. I don't know. I don't know how that works or how that's worked in the past, where Joe Maddon has been before. But you do know, I mean, even when we got to talk with John Jay coming into his first season, he has no history with Joe Maddon. And he said, but I know from what guys tell me, just how great it is to be a part of his clubhouse and to be on a team that he is managing. And even if guys don't agree with every decision that he makes, I think they all very much respect him. And he did it. He won the first World Series in 108 years for the Chicago Cubs. And so I think he's earned that for sure, not just with this team, but in baseball.
Dion Miller with us from ABC TV 7 Sports in Chicago. Now, let's talk about the World Series itself. The Cubs were down 3-1. Mm-hmm. Were you shaking a little bit at that time? I bet you were.
Well, Packer Dave, full disclosure, I grew up a Cleveland Indians fan. And so I was in one of those juxtapositions of it's a win-win situation for me, but I wanted the Cubs to win. And I just wanted that story to finish that way. And even when they were down 3-1, I thought, okay, well, maybe this isn't their year, but they'll learn from this. And then it was magic. It's hard to even describe what we saw, right? I mean, the rain delay out of nowhere in game seven, it was like 3-1. I still can't quite wrap my brain around everything that went on just in game seven and how that unfolded. And just as a fan of sports, you can't not appreciate how hard they work to get back in that. And again, it comes down to the way they approach that whole season. I mean, down 3-1. Okay, let's win game five. Let's win game six. And then we'll worry about game seven and not get too far ahead of themselves or get too down on themselves. They just kind of stayed true to who they were and realized that they can do this. And just having Schwarber back in the World Series and being, it was just unbelievable what Kyle Schwarber was able to do, not seeing a live pitch for months and months, not even running the bases, and what he was able to do. It's unbelievable the talent that he has and what he and how he was able to just step in almost seamlessly and be nearly the MVP. I mean, truthfully, it was unbelievable what he was able to do. And so just how that whole series played out, It was hard to believe. It still kind of is hard to believe. I remember sitting there after even game six and thinking I can't believe they've tied this up and we're going to a game seven. But then you could believe it because that's what we had seen all season long. Now how do you follow that up? How do you take how challenging that was in such a long series, and how do you take that into the next year? I think that will be a big deal as they get further into spring training and how last season affects this season and how deep they played last year and having precious little time off before they're right back at it. I think that will be an interesting storyline, how they build off of an epic World Series.
All right, Dion. And then, of course, the visit to the White House. And Steve was to the White House many years ago under the Reagan administration. Real quick, Steve, don't make it a long soliloquy. What was that like? Real quick.
My mother's first or second cousin was the chief counsel of economic advisors to Reagan. So I was in Washington that summer. Wow. And got an invite to come down there. So we got a tour of the West Wing and had lunch in the White House mess. And that was like way cool.
I would imagine. So, Dion, you were there with the Cubs. First off, why did they move that up? They usually do that later on, but they moved it up.
It seemed to be that they kept saying it was because right after Cubs convention, the guys were all already together. It just seemed to work timing-wise. And because President Obama had invited them back in November, it was one of the first tweets he sent out after they won the World Series, "You want to come to the White House before I leave office?" And he had called Joe Madden and said those exact words, "We want to bring you to the White House before I leave office." And so I think it was a timing thing that it worked as it did. It was one of the cooler experiences of my career. I had not been to the White House since I was in high school, so it was interesting to just be there on Martin Luther King Day and Obama's final week in office, and just seeing it was just cool. I mean, it's hard to even describe. I couldn't quite believe that I had gotten there. I mean, standing there in the East Room, it truly felt like a giant suite at Wrigley. I mean, there were just Cubs fans everywhere, standing ovations, and President Obama so good in those situations and so smooth. And it was just, I remember just standing there trying not to be too into my social media, like really trying to embrace the moment, because it truly was historic. The Cubs hadn't been to the White House and hadn't been in this situation, and just the excitement over the whole thing and the energy that was in that room. It was really cool. Something I'll never forget.
Dion Miller, ABC TV7 Sports in Chicago, trip down memory lane with the 2016 Cubs. Dion, thanks for coming on the show. Always a pleasure, and you have a great day.
All right, anytime, guys.
All right, and we will be back. You are listening to the Sports Report. He's Steve Leventhal. I'm Packer Dave. Hang on.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time, and the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
Have you ever been turned down, rejected, or downright denied because of bad credit? Don't let your dreams disappear. We here at National Credit Advisor can help you qualify for that new car you've been dreaming about or that new home you know you deserve. Never again be rejected because of bad credit. Just call us here at National Credit Advisor today and see how much we can help boost your credit score. We've helped thousands repair their credit so they could finally start qualifying for the purchases they've been dreaming about. Stop being held back from getting the things you want. We help rebuild your credit score so you can qualify for the home, car, or credit card you deserve. No matter how bad your credit is, just call 1-800-605-3081 today to see how much we can help your credit score. No one is turned away. Call now, 1-800-605-3081. That's 1-800-605-3081. Again, 1-800-605-3081.
The NFL Today, brought to you by Hamilton, creator of the world's first electric watch, and by Ice Cool Aqua Velvet for cool, refreshing aftershave comfort, and by Firestone, symbol of quality and service.
You got to be kidding me. Some guy named Packer Dave is on the air in Chicago, in bear country. It's absolutely ridiculous. I'm Brent Musburger, and I'm not doing anything for some guy named Packer Dave in Chicago. Get a life.
Get a life. He's done. He's hanging it up. But I did hear on an interview on the Rich Eisen show that Brent Musburger would like to call a Raiders preseason game in Las Vegas, because from what I understand, his son is in the gaming industry, sports betting. And so he's getting involved in that to some degree. I'm not really up on that, but I know that wants to call a Raiders preseason game. Steve, hold on. I'll say, I'm Packer Dave. Here's Steve Leventhal. Now, Steve, what would you like to say?
Maybe Musburger's moving on to the next phase of his career, casino greeter.
Okay. Thank you for that. How many years before we learn how to do this, Steve? Jeez. Wait till I'm Packer Dave. He's Steve Leventhal. Then you talk. All right. A guy who actually knows how to do this, we bring in now from the Sports Byline USA Network. His name is Jeff Rich. Jeff, welcome to the show. And are you sad to see Brent Musburger go?
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. And absolutely. You know, you got to hang it up eventually. But how many guys in their 70s has their life focused around pretty girls, sports, and gambling? Doesn't that sound like the American dream?
Well, how about somewhat heavy girls, sports, gambling with a little drinking thrown in?
Well, that's everybody up in Wisconsin.
Okay, Jeff. Brent Musburger, back in the day, NFL Today, Phyllis George, Irv Cross, Jimmy the Greek, and that's how I started watching football with that line of people. But we wish him well, Brent Musburger. Great career. Now the Packers and the Falcons, the Green Bay gets clocked. You know, we'll wind up here on this. What were your impressions of that, and were
Let
you kind of surprised
it's over.
How poorly Green Bay's defense was?
Well, I thought Atlanta had to get out of the gate strong. You know, you never have a safe enough lead against Green Bay, except you know what the Falcons actually. You know, I mean, they ran out to the 17-0 lead, and they just kind of they didn't just hang on. They they put it away. You know that we've seen Seattle come back, we've seen Green Bay come back, and you know you just have to. You know, you have to put your neck on their throats and not let up. And I think that's exactly what the Atlanta Falcons did. And that's why they're the quiet storm that is the NFC champions this year.
Okay, and then the Steelers really take it from New England. They get beat badly. And now Ben Roethlisberger is talking about maybe not playing anymore. Do you think that's just the end of season we got thumped woes, or do you think he's serious about that?
There might be a little bit of seriousness to it, but I'm not going to let myself go there just yet. I think that it's interesting. I think that Roethlisberger's personality isn't meshing with some of his star counterparts on that offense, and I think that he's just kind of putting it out there that I don't need to play this game anymore. I think he will. I think he'll be back, but to create that mood of uncertainty with the Pittsburgh front office, I think that it forces them to make some moves, and you know, I think that crosses over into all sports. You know, when you're the alpha dog, you kind of move the chess pieces, so to speak.
Jeff, what about the Pro Bowl? Shouldn't they just dump this thing?
Well, yeah, they should dump the Pro Bowl, but I'm more, I want to follow up on that last thing. You know, I think Pittsburgh's in some real trouble. I think that Pittsburgh would have to utilize a first-round draft pick on a quarterback if this thing, you know, if Roethlisberger makes more hints towards retirement, you know, regardless if it's this year or next year, you know, that's what you build around. I don't care how strong your defense is. I don't care how strong your organization is. We've seen this team with Landry Jones on the field. We've seen this team with going way back, like Mark Malone and Bubby Brister. We've seen the years that Pittsburgh's
Bubby
not good.
Brister.
And it's because they don't have a reputable signal caller. I mean, they've had Hall of Fame signal callers when they've been championship caliber teams. The one year that they went to the Super Bowl here in Tempe, Arizona against the Dallas Cowboys in Super Bowl 30, Neil O'Donnell was the quarterback. That's not good enough to get it done. So that's a priority for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and that puts more teams in that quarterback derby as we look ahead to the NFL draft with the Senior Bowl kind of kicking things off. We'll get into the NFL Combine, and then we'll get into the NFL draft in April.
Jeff Rich with us. You can hear him on the Sports Byline USA Network from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Time on Sundays. That's 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time at sportsbyline.com. Jeff, Ben Roethlisberger is going to play. They got beat bad. You're probably right. He's not happy with some of the things in the locker room or on the team, but give it a little while and he'll come around. I'm sure.
Understood. It's all about stability. And in regard to the Pro Bowl, I think that they're doing some cool things around it, because I think that when you look at other sports, some of these exhibitions that they put on aside from the game itself are what draws eyes. And I don't know if anybody's going to tune in for dodgeball, but I think that trying to be more dynamic about it rather than just being an all-star game that absolutely nobody cares about, it used to be played after the season. Now they kind of fill that void between the conference championships and the Super Bowl. I think it's interesting, but I'm not going to watch it.
Get rid of it. Let's start with pro basketball. Let me guide this, okay? Rumblings in Cleveland, Jeff?
This is an annual thing in January. It's the drama that comes with employing LeBron James on your basketball team. It probably went down in Miami. I just didn't pay as close attention to it. Losing 6 of 8 is really frustrating when you're supposed to be the best team in the league. You know, they got to make their free throws. I don't think that it's personnel. I think that when you go 17 of 34 from the line or 12 of 22 from the line, you're going to lose to the likes of San Antonio, and you're going to lose to the likes of the Sacramento Kings, even on your home floor. I mean, I think that that's the roughest part about it, is I think that that's the biggest change in character. I mean, we're about a year removed from David Blatt being replaced after Martin Luther King Day thrashing at the hands of the then defending champion Golden State Warriors. So this happens pretty much every January. It happened 2 years ago. They came out here to play the Phoenix Suns. They were 19-20. They went bowling as a team, and they turned it around and rode it all the way to an Eastern Conference championship. I think that if they're not playing in June, you can look back to this January and these rumblings between the front office. The pipe dream of LeBron playing with Carmelo Anthony is just that. You're not going to give up. The Cavs don't have many assets to give up, so they'd have to cut into their core to really add to this roster. I think that the likes of Jameer Nelson, maybe Mario Chalmers, they could bring in as a backup point guard. I think that, Dellavedova going to the Bucks was a bigger subtraction for the Cavaliers than it's been an addition for the Bucks. It's hard to maintain a roster when you got three max salary guys on the roster, and it was a problem in Miami. It's a problem in Cleveland, and this is kind of the counter argument to the success of the super teams.
Controversy is not limited to Cleveland. The Bulls seem to be having their issues with Rajon Rondo. The Knicks are trying to shop Carmelo Anthony. What's going on in the NBA here?
Well, I mean, Rondo and Anthony, I think, are two different animals from LeBron. Rondo, since leaving Boston, has been nothing but a problem everywhere that he's played. I mean, Rick Carlisle hated him. He was a sore thumb in a town with a bunch of sore thumbs in Sacramento. And, you'd think that maybe with the pieces that the Bulls have that it could have worked in Chicago, but Rajon Rondo is just a guy that's never going to be happy, and ditto for Carmelo. I think Carmelo is a bigger problem, though, not because of his attitude, just because of his style of play. I mean, the guy's capable of putting up a triple-double damn near every night, and he'd rather score 40 points and lose by 20 than, have a couple of dimes, a couple of rebounds, and, show an effort 100% of the time on the defensive end. I know that Carmelo Anthony's going to win anything in the National Basketball Association unless he gets one of those hanger-on, ring-chasing titles towards the end. And, we're not quite near the end for that draft class of 2003. They've been pretty remarkable. You've got probably the top five in that draft, four of the top five in that draft that are probably headed to the Hall of Fame. Not that the Basketball Hall of Fame standards are that high, but, Chris Bosh, LeBron James, Carmelo Anthony, Dwayne Wade, I think that all of those guys end up being Hall of Famers in the National Basketball Association. Well, because it's not just a pro honor, it's a lifetime achievement. So they're going to give Melo a lot of credit for what he did under Jim Boeheim in his 1 year at Syracuse, winning the national title. But that's probably the peak for Melo.
Yeah. Okay. And then again, back into Chicago here, and you sort of mentioned Dwayne Wade. I don't know if it's surprising or not with what they have on this team that they're kind of hanging in there. I think they had the last spot in the Eastern Conference. But basically, Rajon Rondo just laid into his teammates on Instagram after Jimmy Butler and Dwayne Wade, talked about their teammates. He goes, "My veterans would never go into the media. They would come to the team. My vets didn't pick and choose when they wanted to bring it. They brought every time they stepped in the gym, whether it was a practice or a game. They didn't take days off. My vets didn't care about their numbers. My vets played for the team. When we lost, they wouldn't blame us. They took responsibility and got in the gym." And this he posted on Instagram.
I did read that. It was a little cryptic. He's trying to keep up with his friend LeBron as far as, cryptic messages on social media. And, what's the reality of those, really? I think that there's an attitude there that's not negative. I think that there's some leadership to that. But you got to kind of keep that in-house sometimes. I don't think that revealing, I don't think showing your hand to the public as far as, how locker room chemistry is going is the most sage of moves.
Well, it's an interesting dynamic these days because, back in the day, if a player had a beef, he would just sort of give a little snippet to a reporter. Now, it's just too easy for them to go and post something on their social media website.
Well, I think you open up a can of worms when you start that conversation, because how useful is the media? I mean, I think that the way that questions are framed at press conferences and in one-on-one interviews is more important than ever, because if the player just wants to put out the information, they're going to use, LeBron uses Uninterrupted, just a video service. Sponsored in part by Verizon or something like that. These guys have the channels to, they don't really need the media. The media is there to serve the public and ask the right questions and hopefully get some answers that resemble the truth and maybe dig a little bit. But all these players are going to, these players are going to give you the same, type of both teams played hard kind of PR on their social media. I think that, the legitimate media needs to get at these guys and ask these questions and follow up on these cryptic posts and find out, where you think the team is headed. Are you trying to force a player out, or are you trying to reform a player in your locker room? And, when your team like the Bulls are, the kind of fringe playoff / lottery team, the improvements need to be made. And I think that, it's obvious that Butler, Wade, and Rondo doesn't equal a championship or even anything resembling it.
Jeff, I don't know if you're aware of it. Northwestern has never, ever appeared in the NCAA tournament, and they may be finally on the verge of taking care of that situation.
That's pretty remarkable. You know, we hear a lot about that because of the nature of the population of the alumni that Northwestern has. You know, it's a great journalism school. So obviously we're going to hear a little bit more about Northwestern than we should, you know, than we should about bottom feeder Big Ten schools. But, you know, they carry it academically. And the fact that they've never been to the tournament in a conference like the Big Ten in a market like Chicago is, I mean, it's almost astounding that, you know, with all the years that the NCAA tournament's been around, that the Wildcats have not been a participant. I think they need to earn their way in. I don't think that they get the benefit of the doubt because nobody wants to, you know, it's kind of like Brett, you know, it's kind of like Brett Favre helping Strahan out with the sack record. Nobody's going to push Northwestern in. Northwestern has to earn their way in, and they probably have to win a game or two in the Big Ten tournament. And, you know, it's exciting for those people that, that have really been hanging on, holding out hope. You know, they make a Rose Bowl once in a blue moon, and, you know, the opportunity to play in March for the first, you know, play in the big tournament in March for the first time ever, that's big. And, you know, that's a drought that needs to end sooner or later.
Yeah, they're certainly working at it. I mean, the big thing was they used to lose games that they could have won. Now they're winning games that they might have lost. That's the big step. They won in Columbus for the first time in about 40 years.
Hey, let me ask you something about that, because I am from the state of Ohio. With Ohio State struggling, you know, I know that they beat Izzo's Michigan State team on national TV, but they were 0-4 out of the gate. Thad Matta's got, you know, a couple Final Four appearances. You know, he's putting players in the NBA almost every year until a couple of years ago. And now they're calling for his head in Columbus. I don't think that they could do better at Ohio State than Thad Matta. What's your thoughts on that, Mr. College Basketball?
Well, you know, we talk about it's about where you set the bar and the expectations. You know, Northwestern would be ecstatic to have a couple of NBA players, would be happy to be in some Final Fours and things like that. So sometimes, you know, it's the old saying, maybe change for change sake. Not that it's necessarily a reflection of what Mata's done or certainly his resume, but sometimes you need to make a change for the sake of change.
The question when you replace a coach, whether it's basketball, football, baseball, you know, hockey, you know, if not him, then who? And if the then who is not greater than the, you know, than the him, then, you know, what are you really doing other than spinning your wheels?
Well, that's always the case. You know, you get one of these guys at a mid-major or, you know, at a smaller school, gets their chance, and then you see what happens. But let's turn back to Northwestern, because they've got a big game coming up this weekend against Indiana at home, and that's the kind of thing that's going to help them establish that resume that they need to get into the big dance. And so they won big yesterday. They won big on Thursday night against Nebraska. And when Coach Collins, Doug Collins' son Chris, was asked about their game against Indiana, here's what he had to say.
Yeah, I mean, they'll bring fans, but I know we'll have fans too. And so it's going to be a high-level game. I mean, they're great. I mean, you know, Coach Crean is an outstanding coach. They play really hard. They play fast. You know, they're one of the most prolific scoring offenses, you know, with their pace and their tempo. They put constant pressure on you. They have a guy on their team in James Blackman that can go for 40-plus points in a game, which is always pretty scary. Thomas Bryant, who's an outstanding big guy. You know, Robert Johnson, who's played a lot since, you know, they got veteran guys that are really good. They're athletic. They're quick. They're skilled. It's going to be a big challenge. It's going to be a big challenge, and we're going to need these next 2 days to try to put a game plan together. You know, that was not a good day for us last year when we went there, you know, and, you know, they handled us. They handled us right from the jump. And, you know, I know a lot of guys on our team are excited about trying to play better. That was not one of our finer moments last year when we played those guys. So hopefully we can do a better job in defending them and being more poised on the offensive end.
The other big game we're looking forward to this weekend is going to be Kansas traveling to Lexington to play the Wildcats in a matchup of 2 versus 4. And both of those teams actually lost this week, so it should be very interesting to see who's got more energy there.
Yeah, weird non-conference game in the middle or, you know, towards the end of January. Obviously, you know, some blue bloods, the traditional powers there, you know, great coaches going up against each other. And a game that probably doesn't really matter in the long run, other than, you know, the psyche in the immediacy of the you know, of playing a big game like that on national TV. But, you know, Tuesday, you know, Monday, Tuesday, you put it behind you, and you, you know, you, you get back to conference play, and you, you worry about gearing yourself up to you know, to play in the postseason.
All right, Jeff Rich, Sports Byline USA. Check him out on Sunday morning, 8 to 10 Pacific time, and that's 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern time at sportsbyline.com. Jeff, thanks a lot. Good contribution today, and we'll be doing it again next week.
All right, yeah, give the show a call on Sunday morning, sportsbyline.com, and you can get it on the TuneIn app and a couple of other channels. Sports, you know, Dorf on Sports, Sunday mornings, 11 to 1 Eastern time.
All right, Jeff Rich, Sports Byline USA. And now, as we do each week, we bring in from Toronto, Ontario, our professor of sports for the Sports Report, John Poulter. John, how you doing today?
I'm doing very well, thanks, guys. How about the two of you?
I'm fine. Steve, how are you, Steve?
Well, I'm better than Dave because he's still in recovery.
Well, it was rough. It was a rough game. But like I said before, happy they got to the NFC Championship game. They played over their heads to get there. They did beat Dallas in Dallas, and I was happy about that game. And it goes down as one of those classic playoff games between the Packers and the Cowboys.
Rationalization.
But, John, you know, you heard earlier in the show, Dion Miller from ABC TV7 in Chicago, as we did kind of a Cubs retrospective from the 2016 season. So we've only got one NFL game left, and we've got to turn our attention to other sports, sadly enough for me. Spring training, you're going to be in Arizona early April, actually. You'll miss the spring training down here this year. I'm not very happy about that, John. You and I are supposed to go to games, but you're not going to be here. Let's look at spring training, though, and what we can look for in Major League Baseball leading up to this fun time of the year.
Well, you know how I love spring training, and it pains me to sit here in the cold and tell you that I can't make it down to spring training this year. Always been one of the highlights of my spring whenever I've been able to do that, and the opportunity to put my feet up and go to a ball game with yourself and Steve has always been fun. But unfortunately, my wife's work schedule this year is such that we can't get to Arizona till the 2nd of April, which ironically is opening day for the regular season. So maybe we can catch a Diamondbacks game or something.
We will.
When we're down there. But, you know, I guess the big story going forward for everybody is can the Cubs repeat? And certainly on paper, they would appear to have the team that could repeat. It's a very strong team. It's a young team. For the most part, it's a team that is signed long-term. They're all proven players. To me, other than perhaps making sure that they can fill that closer spot again, that might be the only gap that they have in terms of coming back. But certainly we've seen a lot of teams make improvements, Cardinals being one of them. And of course, to Cub fans, the Cardinal improvement is always a big topic of conversation. And we've all been around this game and this sport long enough that we know that the Cardinals are never out of it for very long. They might have the odd year or two where they're not super competitive and right there at the end of the season. But this may be one of those situations. I think the Cardinals have strengthened themselves, but we've also seen the Dodgers, the Giants, the Mariners, and in the American League, also the Houston Astros strengthen themselves. And of course, we can't forget the Boston Red Sox. They're always big in terms of spending money when it comes to signing players. And sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't. And you can never count the Yankees out, because as long as the Yankees have a checkbook, they have a chance to solve their problems. So I'm looking forward to a good season. Clearly, there's going to be two or three teams that are going to be out of it. Still some signings that need to happen. A few guys still looking for spots to play. Jose Bautista signed with the Blue Jays since we last spoke, and that's going to be an interesting reconciliation. That might be the most bungled off-season transaction I've ever seen, and I say that from both sides. I think both sides messed that up royally. So I can't wait for pitchers and catchers to get down to Arizona and to Florida. To me, that's a real sign that winter isn't too far from being finished.
All right, John. And, of course, the Blue Jays, were eliminated by the Cleveland Indians last year. Blue Jays had a couple good years in a row. Do you think they're going to be able to get over that hump and make it to the World Series? I know it's hard to predict that, but are they in a position, you think, to do that right now?
Well, there's a lot of things have to happen, Dave, for that to come to fruition. The young pitchers have to continue to pitch well. The bullpen has to continue to pitch well. They need solid years out of guys like Marcus Stroman, and they need a good year out of Bautista. They need to keep him healthy. They need some of their other players to come back a little bit. They need Russell Martin to stay healthy all year. They signed Saul Telemachia this week as a backup to him. He may play once a week, maybe three times every 10 days, something along those lines. But I think his best days are probably behind him. He hasn't played regularly for 3 or 4 years now. You know, Trulowitzki has to stay healthy. Josh Donaldson has to have another super year. Yes, it's possible. A lot of pieces have to fit into place. We know the Red Sox are going to be good. We expect the Orioles are going to be good. We don't expect to see the Yankees on the outside for too much longer. The only team in that division that might be a little bit of an easier piece on the schedule is Tampa Bay. But the way Tampa Bay develops young pitchers, you can never count that team out. And in Jim Hickey, they have one of the best pitching coaches in the game. So if there's pitching talent there that can be developed, Tampa's going to do it. So I think it's going to be a real good race. I think every division is going to be good this year. I can't wait for it to start, quite honestly.
So, John, is it anything to do with the sort of the corporate mentality or the corporate ownership? Because, you know, what you see sometimes is, you know, an owner, when it's an individual owner, they'll go out and they'll spend money that may not even have to get talent. But, you know, Toronto, I've never seen an open checkbook there. Have you?
Not really. Go back to the 92-93 back-to-back World Series when we had, you know, guys like Dave Winfield, Paul Molitor, characters like that. I think at that time the Blue Jays did, in fact, have the biggest payroll in baseball, and that's how they won. I mean, they Winfield left as a free agent. They immediately replaced him with Paul Molitor. I mean, that's not exactly any type of downgrade. Blue Jays have always sort of been a pitching-rich team. They've always tried to develop pitchers, and we all know that when you try to develop pitchers, sometimes you're going to hit a home run, sometimes you're not going to hit a home run, and you just have to kind of take the good with the bad. Pitchers obviously susceptible to arm injuries, and every team has gone through that. Chris Carpenter was with the Blue Jays. They gave up on him because they thought he was going to be permanently hurt, couldn't afford to re-sign him. He goes on to play with the Cardinals, wins a couple of World Series, a Cy Young Award, has a stellar career. So it's a little bit of a crapshoot from that standpoint. But Rogers Communications, which is one of the bigger communications companies in Canada, along with Bell Media, and Rogers own the Blue Jays. They own the arena where they play, what used to be called the Sky Dome, now called the Rogers Center. They own three or four Sportsnet channels, similar to ESPN-type and Comcast-type networks. They own magazines. They own a couple of radio stations. There's no shortage of money as far as Rogers are concerned, a huge cell phone network, but they just seem to be very reluctant to spend money. And when you look at North America, and I'm excluding Mexico from the standpoint right now that Mexico don't have any major league teams, looking at the U.S. and Canada, Toronto is the fourth largest market behind New York, Chicago, and Los Angeles. I don't consider Toronto to be a small market team. Management seems to think it is a small market team as far as their budget is concerned, but let's not kid ourselves. Rogers is quite rich. Toronto is not a small market. I believe they should be spending money. The secret is spend it wisely. For the most part, they've spent their money wisely, but I'd like to see them spend a little bit more and be competitive with the big boys.
John Poulter with us from Toronto. Now, of course, being Canadian, he loves hockey. So let's get into hockey right now, and let's start with your own Toronto Maple Leafs.
Well, they have been playing very well lately. I mean, there's no question that they're playing well beyond expectations. I was down at the game on Monday night against Calgary. They struggled for the better part of the first period, got a goal late in the first period, and then just kind of pulled away from there, 1-4-0. Went into Detroit, which is always a tough game, on Wednesday night, 1-4-0, came a little bit of a cropper in Philadelphia on Thursday, lost a close 1-2-1, but I'm impressed with this team. They're certainly not a contender yet. They may not even be a playoff team yet, but certainly the signs are there that they're moving in the right direction. They're fun to watch. One of the things they have to do is learn to protect leads in the third period. They're not the only team that has that problem. And they're going to have to make sure that they're a little bit more disciplined and not take some silly penalties. They took a rather silly penalty last Saturday night against Ottawa with about a minute and 10 seconds to go that eventually cost them the game. They were up one. Ottawa scored on the power play to tie it, and then Ottawa won in the shootout. So a little bit of discipline, but I'm impressed with what I'm seeing. Finally, the Leafs are not taking the Yankee route, as I would probably call it, by signing grizzled veterans that are well past their best before date. They're investing in young players. They've got good coaching. I think management is committed to rebuilding through youth, and so far it's hard to fault what they're doing.
Now, John, you talked about blown leads, and that seems to be a problem of recently with the Chicago Blackhawks here. So, Coach Quenneville, Joel Quenneville, addressed that issue, and here's what he had to say. And then afterwards, tell me what you think.
Everyone's different. I think our coverage on the goals against tonight could have been better. Second, third, fourth, change in the first goal. Close, but not good enough. I still think that we're fine on the other end and had the puck and we're dangerous in certain areas, but we got to make it tougher on what we're giving up.
Concerning is a three-day stretch like this where you give up these leads. Any worry about?
Well, I think that, you got to be, you don't want to be on for goals against any time of the game, particularly in the third period. And we're pretty good in those situations, and we got back-to-back games where it happened. And we haven't seen it, but certainly I can't be happy. There were some positives in both games, but definitely an awful taste now.
Well, there's no question that that Quenneville is 100% correct. This has been a problem with the Blackhawks for a little while. And in the clip, he specifically talks about the last two games being Tuesday night against Tampa Bay, Thursday night against Winnipeg. Both losses for the Blackhawks in games that they were ahead after two periods. But let's look back a little bit further and go back to Sunday night's game. And on Sunday, they were playing Vancouver. They were comfortably up 2-0 after two. And within less than a minute in the third period, I think the goals were at 5:03 and 5:49, Vancouver had suddenly tied it. And then we go to Tuesday night, and we see a similar situation. They're up after two periods. They give up three goals in almost 4 minutes, 3:57, 2:30 in the third, end up losing to Tampa. Not good. And Thursday, they gave up 2:32 to give up a one-goal lead and trail by a lead and trail by a goal and three goals in 2 minutes to salt that one away. So I think Quenneville is probably a little bit more concerned than he sounds. He's a veteran coach. He's clearly well appointed in terms of his knowledge of the game. His winning record shows that. He's well respected. He's certainly not on any hot seats in terms of being fired because his team isn't playing well. That's the furthest thing from his mind, I'm sure. But it's a problem that needs to be addressed. And I sit back and I kind of look now and say, are some of these defensemen that the Hawks are relying on, are they all getting just a little bit too long in the tooth and or have played an awful lot of hockey in the last few years? You look at their top four, Duncan Keith is 33, Chalmerson's 29, Seabrook's 31, Brian Campbell's 37, and then the last three guys were, to me, there's a huge fall off in Van Riemsdyk, Kempney, and Roosevelt. Talent is there, I think, to be developed with Van Riemsdyk. He's 25, Kempney is 26, but I think Roosevelt, what we see is what we get with him. He's 38 years old, and he's a reliable number six or number seven guy, but he's not going to be a top player anymore. But, it's not just the defenseman and the goaltending that stop goals. It's the checking, and you have to kind of look at some of the plus-minus numbers for the Blackhawks over the last couple of games, and some of them are a little bit concerning. You go back to Thursday's game, and Keith and Chalmerson were minus one. Seabrook was minus two, and here's the big shocker. The line that we've seen perform really well for the last year and a half, Anisimov minus three, Panarin minus three, Patrick Kane minus two. go back to Tuesday night where we had that little bit of a collapse as well. Anisimov minus two, Panique minus three, Hartman was minus three, even Brian Campbell was minus two. So it's not one or two people that are contributing here. I mean, there was one game, I think it was Tuesday night, even Jonathan Toews was minus two. And you could probably count your hand on one hand the number of times that Jonathan Toews is a minus player over a full season. And, you know, it just doesn't seem to make sense. I just kind of wonder if these guys are getting a little bit tired. And when I see two goals in a very short period of time and three goals in a fairly short period of time, I have to wonder if maybe it's a concentration issue with these guys. And that is Quenneville's job. He needs to get that thing back on track as quickly as possible. And it's costing them in the standings because Minnesota beat St. Louis 5-1 on Thursday night, combined with the Blackhawks losing to Winnipeg. And all of a sudden, the Blackhawks are a few points behind Minnesota now, and they still have those games in hand. So it's going to be very critical now for the Blackhawks to put together a streak that similar to the one we saw early in the season that had them leading the league and, of course, the Western Conference.
Woo! Okay, there he is from Toronto, John Bolter. I don't know if I could talk that much in a whole week. What you just heard, John, in the last segment on hockey. My goodness. Okay, well John,
Dave,
thanks
Dave,
very much.
It goes the other way because you could talk about NFL football and be very knowledgeable about it, and I would just be sitting there saying, yeah, that sounds good. We all have our strengths, guys, and Dave's, yours is NFL football. And it's not the NFL football is not my strength.
I've been working with Steve for 25 years or so. I'm still trying to find one of those strengths here, John.
Me too.
Thank you very much. You have a great week. We will do it again next week. John Polter from Toronto.
My pleasure as always, guys. Take care. We'll chat next week.
All right. Have a good one. And we want to thank you for listening to this week's edition of the Sports Report. Remember, you can get us at kwwradio.com. And at internetfm.com. And, of course, Mile High Radio. And online at tunein.com. All over the place, the Sports Report. We want to thank our professor of sports, John Polter from Toronto. Jeff Rich from the Sports Byline USA Network. Dion Miller from ABC TV7. For Steve Leventhal, I'm Packer Dave saying thanks a lot. Have a great week. Take care. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Keep your feet in the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
That's right, tough guy.
Bye-bye.
Get some bears, scumbag.
Goodbye.
Tell you what, dipstick, you can just come on down here and smooch my big old white butt. Pucker up, buttercup.
Yeah, I hear you, fruitcake.
Oh, it's hopeless. Now you ought to club them and eat their bones.
Goodbye.
Now you ladies, carry on.
Excellent.
See you later, pal. I'm going home.
Wait a minute.
Well, I'm glad that's over. Now it's over.
Good night, ladies.
Good night, sir.
Let's get out of here.
Have you ever been turned down, rejected, or downright denied because of bad credit? Don't let your dreams disappear. We here at National Credit Advisor can help you qualify for that new car you've been dreaming about or that new home you know you deserve. Never again be rejected because of bad credit. Just call us here at National Credit Advisor today and see how much we can help boost your credit score. We've helped thousands repair their credit so they could finally start qualifying for the purchases they've been dreaming about. Stop being held back from getting the things you want. We help rebuild your credit score so you can qualify for the home, car, or credit card you deserve. No matter how bad your credit is, just call 1-800-605-3081 today to see how much we can help your credit score. No one is turned away. Call now, 1-800-605-3081. That's 1-800-605-3081. Again, 1-800-605-3081.
This is Bart Shore, and I want to invite you to visit InternetFM.com. This great site has online stations streaming rock music 24/7, hundreds of podcasts with on-demand music, sports, and talk programs. Also get daily features, music news, and useful links. Our radio stations have limited or no commercials at all. InternetFM.com. It's totally free. No sign-up required. If you love music, then InternetFM.com is for you. Also on Facebook at InternetFM.